with Mechorish in my back, I was always hoping that each Mechorish would have like not too much to say, so I'd be able to get to the finish. And now you wish you could beg. Like, in other words, the more you learn it more, you begin to realize that there's obviously a lot that requires clarification. Oh, it's a lot of things here that are deep, that are hard to understand, the links between different things. And you wish that they would have had more rachmanis and written much more. And anytime you come to a Torah like that, they don't say anything about, you really feel bad, because I doubt very much it's that they didn't have what to say. It's just for whatever reasons. They wrote on some stuff they didn't, period. It's just a pity. Okay. Rabbeinu Torah Kuf Gimel. Rabbeinu Zal says, Iso b'Gemara. It's brought in the Gemara Sanhedrin. The Gemara has a quotation which says, Kol hamaynea halacha mipi Talmid. Any person who holds back a halacha from a Talmid. In other words, the Talmid is begging for Torah and the Rebbe doesn't want to teach. Ke'ilu geizloi minachlas avos. It's as though he robbed from him the inheritance of his forefathers. The Gemara over there proves it from a pasuk. The pasuk says, "Bereishis bora likim es hashemayim v'soretz." In the beginning, Hashem created heaven and earth. What is Reishis? The Gemara says Reishis is Torah. Reishis refers to Torah. As the pasuk says, Reishis chachma yiras Hashem. On the other hand, Reishis refers to Bnei Yisrael. Bnei Yisrael are called Kodesh Yisrael Hashem, Reishis Tevuasoi. So we see that these two go together, that the purpose, the original purpose for creation of the world was for Torah and for the Jews. Which means that the Torah is something that was passed down to us from way, way, way in the beginning. The first Adam HaRishon, what was the first? Man and Torah were created together. As the Zohar Kodesh says, Kudshe Berichu v'Yisrael v'Yiraisachadu. So if a Rebbe holds back any part of Torah from a Talmud, he's holding back that which was given over as Nachala from the original forefather, in other words, from the time that Hashem created the world. Rabbi Nezal Shenemar, and the Gemara there quotes another pasuk. The Gemara says, Torah tziva lanu Moshe, Mayrosha, that Moshe Rabbeinu has taught us the Torah, which is Mayrosha. The Gemara says, it miloshin Yerusha, an inheritance. The Torah is a form of inheritance. And if a Rebbe holds back Torah, he's holding back Yerusha in a sense. V'kivon shero Moshe, shebnei Ruvain, ubnei God, meini in bnei Yisrael, minachlas avoisom. Rabbeinu Zal says that when Moshe Rabbeinu saw that the tribe of Ruvain and the tribe of God were holding back the Jews from getting to their inheritance, from getting to Eretz Yisrael, because they began to say, we can't go to Eretz Yisrael, we have too many, we're loaded down with sheep and cattle, there's no way for us to schlep this whole bundle into Eretz Yisrael. So they were sort of holding back Bnei Yisrael from getting into Eretz Yisrael. Or so it seemed. Bishvil ze korolahem tarbus anoshim chatoim. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu called them tarbus anoshim chatoim. The Targum Unkelus on this pasuk says, what does that mean, tarbus anoshim chatoim? Talmidei gavrayo chayovayo. The students of Rishoim. Tarbus anoshim chatoim, the Targum translate to mean the students of people who are chayov, meaning Rishoim. What does this mean? Why did he call them the students of Rishoim? Rabbeinu Zal explains, Hadovor hazeh kibaltem mirabonechem. Because Moshe Rabbeinu was saying to them, this item you must have gotten from your rabbis, the ones who taught you, meaning, Sherabchem gozal mikem halachis. Your rabbis held back from you Torah. They weren't willing to teach you halachis. V'halacha is heim nachlas aviz kanal. And we just said that the Gemara said that halacha is like inheritance. So if a Rebbe holds back Torah, it's like he's holding back inheritance. V'ato gam atem holchem bedarkei aviseichem. Now, obviously, you're following in the footsteps of your Rebbe's. Just as they held back nachla from you, you're trying to hold back nachla from other people. U'ritzaynchem ligzel miYisrael nachlas aviseichem. And it's obvious that your desire is to steal, to rob the Jews of their nachla, which is Eretz Yisrael. Period. One item. Now Rabbeinu Zal says, "Ubeperek kama de Baba Basra." In the beginning of Masechet Baba Basra, we find that the Gemara quotes a pasuk, where the pasuk says, "Umatztike horabim kakechavim." The pasuk says, "Bamaskilim yazhiru kezoya harukia." Those who are learned, they shine like the glow of the sky. Umatzdikei harabim kekechovim. And those who make the public righteous, they shine like stars. The Gemara says, who are those who make the public frum? The Gemara says, Elo malamdei tinoikos. This refers to those who teach small children. They teach them to go on the Derech HaYosher. Rabbi Nezal says about this, the Achshov Shoro'o, Shehem Mechayvim Rabim. When Moshe Rabbeinu saw that these people seemed to be trying to get the Jews into trouble, by preventing the Jews from wanting to go into Eretz Yisrael, it looked like they were trying to get them into trouble. Shemeini and Leiv Ben Israel, they were holding back the Jews from doing a mitzvah. Mistama Gam Rabom Eino Matzdikei Harabim. Probably their rebbes also were not matzdikei harabim. In other words, matzdik harabim means one who helps people go on the derech hayosher, go on the right path. These people were getting people to go on the wrong path. Probably their rebbes were also ones who didn't put people on the right path. Ela machayve rabim. Bishvil ze koro lehem tarbus anoshim. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu referred to them as tarbus anoshim. Tarbus means... what's the
culture?
That's the word I was looking for. Means you are people of a Rishoim culture. In other words, you've received a Rosho type of culture. The Targum Onkelos Talmidei Gavraya Chayavaya. In other words, Rabbi Nezal is explaining the purpose of this Torah is to explain the Targum. Why was Moshe Rabbeinu attacking their Rebbe's Talmidei Gavraya? The answer is based on two Gemaras. What they were trying to do was hold back Bnei Israel from Nachlas Avos. That's one way of looking at it. Another way, they were holding back Bnei Israel from going on the right path. Rabbi Nezal quotes two Gemaras, which show us that this is a reflection on a Rebbe. Number one, the Gemara, that any Rebbe who holds back a halacha from a Talmud, it's as though he stole from him Nachlas Avos. So few people are stealing the Nachlas Avos of the Jews. Probably you must have had this type of Rebbe, number one. Number two, he quotes the other Gemara, which says that a good Rebbe, a good Malamei Tinaikis, is called Matzdikei Rabim. You people are Machayvei Rabim, you're trying to get the public to do a sin. You must have been Tarbus Hanoshim Chatoim, you must have had a bad Rebbe. Period. Go ahead.
A couple of things. If the Rebbe was a good Rebbe, isn't it true that if he would hold back, then it would be for a good reason?
The answer is, in other words, this means under normal circumstances. In other words, certain things that a Rebbe is not supposed to teach a Talmud because he could choke him, chas v'shalom. In other words, if he tries to give him too much at one time, he could definitely harm him. Here it's talking about the other way around. In other words, where it's something that should be taught to the Talmud, not only the Rebbe is lazy, let's say, or for whatever reason, you know, he wants to tease a Talmud in a wrong kind of way. No, I don't want to teach you. There we say it's as though he has no right to. You understand? A Rebbe is required, al pi Torah, to teach whatever the curriculum is. More than that, if he teaches, he can do damage. Less than that, he's considered a ganav. You understand? Because the Torah belongs to the Jews. If a Jew goes to seek Torah, the Rebbe is mechuyev to teach him. That's the point that's being stressed there. If a Jew wants, and if the Rebbe holds back, he's considered gazlan. You understand? That's what it is. But, go ahead.
And how come if they saw that this
meeting
was bad in them, why
didn't
say it's because
the
Rebbe did this?
In other words, you look at a Talmud, you see the Rebbe. It doesn't mean in every 100% of the time, but the general rule is that if the Rebbe is a good Rebbe, the Talmudim have a certain look to them. When he saw that this involved a whole Shevet, in other words, generally it's obvious that the Shevotim were separated. You see, they traveled separately. Each Shevet was a whole unit. They had their own Malamdim, their own Rebbes. So he felt because the whole Shevet Reuven and the whole Shevet Gad were turning out a certain way, Mistama the mechanchim of Shevet Reuven and Shevet Gad weren't good. Understand? That's what he was pointing out. Note, it doesn't mention Menashe here. Rabbi Nezal doesn't mention Menashe. Menashe was only half the Shevet. Could be here again. It wasn't so much a reflection there. He was looking at it. These where it was a whole Shevet, he was blaming the leaders. He was blaming the leaders. He called them not Rishon, Talmidim of Rishon.
Any reason why it specifically says Shemini and Leiv in Israel? Why is it called Leiv in Israel?
We'll put it this way. Rabbi Nezal says in a few places that the ikar gevura of a person is in the Leiv. In other words, when a person has a desire to do something, the main guts, when we say he doesn't have the guts to do it or the strength to do it, Rabbi Elazar says the main strength is not in the hands, it's in the heart. Rabbi Elazar says if a person has toughness, gevurah in his heart, he can jump through fire. In other words, he can go through anything. So in other words, this is why he's saying they were many of the lev, which is called the melech over all the evorim. If you recall, he once had a story from the Zohar Kodesh. By weakening the melech, you weaken the whole, in other words, all the soldiers.
They were actually trying to sort of detract, holding back on Israel, actually.
Exactly.
Not giving them much impetus to go.
This is what Moshe Rabbeinu thought. In other words, the Jews were headed towards Eretz Israel. They were about to start get into the real war, to start doing battle with the seven nations. Suddenly, the leaders of Shevet Reuben, Gad, and Hefer of Manasseh came forth to Moshe Rabbeinu, and they said, you know, studying the situation, it seems to us that we would be much better off over here. We don't want to, we think that this would be a much better place for us to settle down. They at the time didn't mean chas v'sham that they weren't going to participate in the battle. They wanted to participate in the battle. Proof is, by God, if you recall, I quoted last week, the tweets on the show, Vayesei Rosh Hayom. They went out to prove to Moshe Rabbeinu, they said, we're going to be the front lines. When it comes to battling the seven nations, we want to be right in the front. But he took it the wrong way at first. He took it as though they're chickening out. They want it because they're afraid to go into battle. So he yelled at them. He gave them teichacha. And it turns out, as we're going to see in the next term, the Gemara, which expands on this a little more, that it was a mistake. They said, chas v'shalom, we didn't mean that at all. It's simply because we have so much mikneh, we think that if we attempt to transport all of this wealth into Eretz Yisrael, it's just not going to be possible. We'll lose half the wealth on the way. In other words, the mikneh will die out from the trip. Therefore, we're begging you, if we can have our nachla here, right on the entrance to Eretz Yisrael. But as far as going to war, the first ones, we'll be the first ones, we're going to leave our wives and children here, they told them. We're going and we're not coming back until every single Jew is settled in Eretz Yisrael. That's what they had said at the time. But this was a toss in a sense of Moshe Rabbeinu. Yeah, 100%, as we're going to see in the next Torah.
Did that only get to the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael?
Excuse me? The answer is, if you look in Sforim, that land is referenced in some places, it's called Evra Yarden, in other words, in a sense where it seems to show that it's not Eretz Yisrael. In some places, it's referred to as Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Zal once mentioned Al Pisod with the Sifrei Kabbalah, we understand exactly what it is. That's the Pesach to Eretz Yisrael. Just like when you enter into a house, you have to have a mezuzah there. What is a mezuzah? Mezuzah is Begimatria, Hashem's name, Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, which symbolizes Malchus, because the home of a person is his Malchus. That's his domain. That's where he rules in his house. Lihiyos Kolish Seirer Bevesoi. That's the place of Malchus. You need Malchus in the entrance, the mezuzah. These 2.5 Shvatim, they were the mezuzah of Eretz Yisrael, the land of Eretz Yisrael, which is the bias of Klal Yisrael, because they were called Shiftei Kor, the Shvatim of Hashem. 2.5 times Hashem is Begimatria Mezuzah. So in other words, they were the mezuzah. The mezuzah is called part of the house, but yet it's not inside. It must be outside, you understand? It must be in the doorway, right in between, in and not in, you know, that kind of thing.
Is Reuven and God?
And half of Manasseh.
At that time period, was there a period between Moshe Rabbeinu and Korah?
This was later. This was much later. Okay. Next. Note, interestingly, Rav Moshe Zal does you a favor in the next Torah, and he mentions to you that this item that Rabbeinu Zal is referring to here is found in two places. There's two places where it's touched on. Number one, in the Sefer Hasidim, and number two, in the Reishis Chachma. And it's interesting to note, by the way, again, to show how observant the person is. If you look, for example, one who learns this, he learns Rav Moshe Zal's, you look up the references in a lot of places, the Maamar Kaimos, you become familiar with what Sforim Rabbeinu Zal learned and Rav Moshe Zal learned. In other words, you look in the power of Reis L'Chochma, the different Sforim that he quotes, obviously, those are the Sforim to learn, period. You know, in other words, if you want to know Sforim, Sefer Hasidim is a very important Sefer, and Reishis Chochma, Rabbeinu Zal said, is a very important Sefer. Okay, now Rabbeinu Zal says, Isa b'medrash, it's brought in the Medrash, b'shvil she'omar Moshe l'bnei God, because Moshe Rabbeinu said to the Bnei God, Tarbus Anoshim Chatoim, he called them by this real rough term, Tarbus Anoshim Chatoim, Nenash, he was punished, Sheben Bnoi Ovad Lepesel Micha, that his grandson, Moshe Rabbeinu's grandson, worshipped Pesel Micha. Was Moshe Rabbeinu's grandson Micha?
No.
No. Moshe Rabbeinu's grandson worshipped Pesach Micha. I think some people might have gotten the wrong impression when Rabbi Zal spoke. Micha was not the grandson of Moshe Rabbeinu, or at least this is the what it says in Navi. Micha made a Pesach Micha. One of the one who was appointed as the Kohen of the Pesach Micha was Yohanan ben Menashe, the Navi calls him, only the Nun is written raised a little bit. It's Yohanan ben Gershaim ben Menashe, and the Nun is raised a little. Really, in other words, actually the regular letters are Mem Shin Hei Meshe. The Nun is just put in Rashi HaKodesh Nema Forshim Burim so as not to shame Moshe Rabbeinu Chas V'Shalom, not to associate Moshe Rabbeinu's name with Avodah Zarah. But it was Yohanan ben Gershon ben Menashe who was appointed as the Kohen for Pesach Micha. Micha appointed him, in other words, he came by his house one time and he showed him everything, all that he had and everything, and he was impressed with it, and it says he appointed him as the Kohen, the one to prepare all the sacrifices for this Avodah Zarah. So there's a medrash that says, what do you mean that Moshe Rabbeinu had a grandson who worshipped idols? The medrash says, you know why? Because he called these people Tarbus Anoshim Chatoim, that's why he was punished, that his grandson worshipped an idol. Rabbeinu Zal says, Rabbeinu Zal says, V'hadovar kosher. It seems difficult to understand here. Ma inyan ze shel tarbus anoshim chatoim la'inish sheloi sheyavoid ben benoy avoid zora. What does one have to do with the other? What is the fact that he called these people a bad name? What does that have to do with his son becoming an idol worshipper? Where's the connection between the two? We know that generally Hashem punishes mida keneged mida. In other words, the punishment reflects upon the crime. Rabbeinu Zal says, "Vateretz." The explanation for this is, "Ki amru Chazal." The Gemara says in Ksubas, "Kol hador bechutz laretz ki ilu ein la'yelaka." Any person who lives outside Eretz Yisrael, it's as though he doesn't have a Hashem over him. And a person who lives in Eretz Yisrael, it's as though he does have a Hashem over him. The Zohar Kodesh says, "What does this mean? Hashem isn't present in chutz laretz?" No. The Zohar HaKodesh says that each one of the 70 nations of the world in the heavenly court, just kaviyochel, lahavdil, just as on earth there's a sewer that's called the United Nations, lahavdil, in heaven, there is a unit, a court, a supreme court, which is made up of all the leaders, the representatives of all the nations of the Goyim. Each nation has a malach that represents it over there in heaven. The Zohar HaKadosh says, who is the one who represents the land of Eretz Yisrael? That's Hashem himself. This is what it means when we say a person living outside of Eretz Yisrael, it's as though he doesn't have Hashem, because Hashem isn't rooting for him. Hashem is rooting for Eretz Yisrael specifically. Whereas one who lives in Chutz Laretz is stuck with an angel rooting for him, a regular angel. So now Rabbeinu Zal says, the Gemara says there, that a person living outside of Eretz Yisrael, it's as though he doesn't have a Hashem. What's the opposite of having Hashem? That's like an idol worshipper. An idol worshipper is one who doesn't worship Hashem. V'amru Chazal, and the Gemara says in Shabbos, ha'cheshed b'ksherim leke begufay, that a person who suspects someone else of doing a crime, we punish him with that crime. Specifically, we punish him in a similar type manner. Rabbeinu Zal says, u'meshe hoya cheshed oisam shebnei Ruvain u'bnei God einam roitzim beret Yisrael shum chelek. Moshe Rabbeinu suspected the Bnei Ruvain and Bnei God as though they didn't want to have any part of Eretz Yisrael. They wanted the opposite of Eretz Yisrael. Nimtzo she'ein lohem eloka, meaning implying that they don't have a Hashem, that they don't believe in Hashem. They don't want Eretz Yisrael, which is the land which places you under the guidance of Hashem. Bishvil ze ne'nash beben benoi, this is why he was punished with his grandson, Sheloi Hoyoloi Eloka, that his grandson also rejected Hashem. Why? Rabbeinu Zal says, ki heim ksherim hayu bedavar, the Bnei Ruvain and Bnei God were legitimate. Ki rotzu litoil chelek beret Yisrael gamkein, they also definitely wanted to take part in Eretz Yisrael. Kemuva, as is brought in the Gemara and the Medrashim, that they really wanted a chelek in Eretz Yisrael. It's just because they were so much wealthier than the rest of Kol Yisrael, therefore, in a sense, they were considered oinus, where it would have been impossible for them to travel that distance, without giving up majority of their wealth. Therefore, they asked, please allow us to keep our wealth here, to leave our wealth here. As far as the battle is concerned, we're willing to have part in Eretz Yisrael as much as anybody else. It's just due to our circumstance that we're so tied down to cattle and those kind of things that can't travel. Therefore, would it be permissible for us to stay out here? And Moshe Rabbeinu asked Hashem, and the reply from Hashem came back, definitely okay. Question is, why? Why would Hashem allow any Jew to stay outside of Eretz Yisrael? The answer is, they were the mezuzah. Their purpose was to be machnia, the two nations of Sichon and Og, which were also right outside of Eretz Yisrael. They were lahavdol, the opposite. In Klipa, they were the mezuzah of Klipa. They were the menias preventing the Jews from getting to Eretz Yisrael, because as Rabbi Zal once mentioned, the two words Sichon and Og are begematria, the names of Hashem that appear on the outside of a mezuzah. Chaf Vav Zayin Vav. In other words, the names Yud Kei Vav Kei, Hashem, Elikenu, Hashem. The names that come, the ponim of those names, which means the ponim of Yud Kei Vav Kei is Chaf Vav Zayin Vav. It means the letters that follow Yud Kei Vav Kei. The letters that follow Elikenu are Beis, Mem, Vav, Chaf, Zayin, you know, etc., etc. The names, that, the letters that follow Yud Kei Vav Kei again are Chaf Vav Zayin Vav. The total gematria of those is 213, which is begematria Sichon and Ayin. They were lahavdil, the force of Tumah that were trying to prevent the Jews from getting into Eretz Yisrael. Keneged them, the Jews put up a mezuzah, 2.5 shvatim over there, to act as a mezuzah to ward off all the Tumah, all the Klipahs from the house. The house of the Jews being Eretz Yisrael.
What do you feel about the 2.5 tribes being gematria?
Because the shvatim are called Shiftei Kor. Hashem placed his name, Shevet Horeuveni, Yud Kei, beginning and end. Each one, Hashem placed his name upon them. So each Shevet is like one time Hashem's name. You'll note that Yud Kei Vav Kei, Hashem's name Yud Kei Vav Kei, how many Tzirufim are there of Yud Kei Vav Kei? How many different combinations? 12. Usually four letters make 24 combinations. Here, because two of them are the same, it becomes half, which is 12. The Yud-based Tzirufei Havaya correspond to the Yud-based Shvatim. So that each Shevet is considered Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei, right? 2.5 times Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei is begimatria of Mezuzah, exactly. They were the Mezuzah of Eretz Yisrael. This is a spectacular insight into this item, which otherwise makes no sense whatsoever. To be able to understand why those Shvatim remained outside, who would dream of rejecting Eretz Yisrael? You know, it seems so ridiculous. Picture the whole Jewish nation going in and some guy saying, well, we have too much cattle, we prefer to stay out here with the behemoths. And what kind of silly thing is that? The answer is they had to stay out there. Their function was bedafka to be over there.
How's he supposed to know?
Here's where the Sefer Hasidim points out what was the mistake. The Sefer Hasidim, not again, we're talking, you know, not that this is as simple as it sounds. He warns that a Rebbe teaching Talmidim has to be exceptionally careful when he gives Teichacha never to get angry. In other words, just like a parent, the Arizal warned his Talmud of Chaim Vitalzal that when you want to administer discipline to kids, you definitely smack them, you hit them. As the Pasuk says, Chayseich Shiftei Seinei Benai, spare the rod, spoil the child, which means you must hit a child. However, the Ari HaKadosh warned him, if you want to be zeichet to say this HaTorah, I'm warning you, one of the things to watch out is don't ever hit a child in anger. If a child does something wrong that gets you angry, first get angry, let your anger subside, then go over them and hit him. At the time, the hitting, the pech, could never be given an emotion of kas. You get angry, go over and hit, that's forbidden. And the Sefer Hasidim warns as the example of Moshe Rabbeinu. When Moshe Rabbeinu was reprimanding them, he thought, you know, that this was the case, therefore he had the right to give Teichacha. But he said, Tarbus Anoshim Chatoim, that was a type of Lashon that came out, in a sense, in a type of kas. And Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't allowed, Chas V'Shalom, to have any type of kas, that kind of item. But again, obviously, we don't understand exactly what this is talking about. How could you apply the word kas to Moshe Rabbeinu if Moshe is begimatria chalinaf? He's the whole concept of Hamtoka Satin. He's the opposite of Din. He's the highest chesed. Rabbeinu Zal brings, ki merachamim yinahagim. who is the most worthy leader of the Jew, of the Jews? The one who has the most rachmanis, the one who is willing to put his life on the line for them. Who is that? Moshe Rabbeinu. So obviously we don't understand exactly what's involved here, but we're learning this al pi pshat for our sake, not for his sake, so that we should understand what to do, what not to do.
What's like the Gufa in this case?
He gets punished. The Lake of the Gufa is, he was Cheshedem of Avodah Zarah, so his family was afflicted with Avodah Zarah, Chas V'Shalom.
And then, why specifically grandchild is just got a smell?
No, exactly.
Gufa is more like a physical thing.
Exactly, exactly. Period. The next Torah that we have now is a Torah that we mentioned a few times. It's a very, very, it's a concept. Rabbeinu Zal brings a concept that you'll see the wording Rabbeinu Zal uses to understand this, because this is very important. However, unfortunately again, the first version of the Torah is Miloshna Chaverim, which means you're going to find it hard to put it together, to understand the pieces. Rabbeinu Zal afterwards is going to give a review, very clear terms, what Rabbeinu Zal was talking about here, what he wanted you to come out with here. So let's try to understand it as best as we can. We'll do the second part and we'll understand it better. That's Hashem.
Okay. How was these 2.5 Shvatim? How did they get that rich?
Hashem blessed them with Moshe. Okay. In other words, so one person has 50 cattle and over a year it grows to 50,000. Another person has 50 cattle and 35 of them die and the others are, you know, I'm saying it's a bracha of Shecha that was given to them. They were more wealthy than the others. Okay, Rabbeinu Zal bases this Torah on the Pasuk, Ozi v'zimros ko, v'yehi le'lishua, the Pasuk that's mentioned in Beshawach, in the Shira that the Jews said at the Kriyas Yamsum. Rabbeinu Zal says, Hinei ho'elam tzrichim rachmim gedalim. The world needs tremendous rachmanis from Hashem, tremendous pity from Hashem. Hein beruchnis, hein begashmis, both in a spiritual sense and a physical sense. V'kol echod mevakesh rachmim ve'en yedeh hechonhu. Each person begs for rachmanis, and they don't know where it is. It's like they're searching for something which they can't imagine where it is. V'horachmim hu le'enei koil. Rabbeinu Zal says the pity, the compassion is right in front of everybody. K'may shekosu, as the Pasuk says, lo yirechoyko hi, v'lo yibashamayim hi. Hashem says the Torah is not in heaven, it's not distant from you, it's right in front of your eyes. Rabbeinu Zal says, v'hinei iso b'zoyar, it is brought in the Zohar HaKadosh, israchmim v'israchmim. The Zohar HaKadosh says there is rachamim, and there is rachamim. There's two levels of rachmanis. There's a lower level and a higher level. Israchmim pshutim dezerampin. There is the lower level of rachmanis, which is the level of zerampin. Veisrachmim gedolim de'atikos stimor. And there is the higher level rachmanis, which is called the rachmim of atik. Now note, if you recall, we once explained in the simplest terms the breakdown three levels within the spheroids. Netzach Hoid are called Bonim. Netzach Hoid Yisoid are called children. Chesed Gevura Tiferes are called Avos. You'll note that the forefathers of the Jews, Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, are always compared to Chesed Gevura Tiferes. Keser Chochma Bina are called Sovin, grandparents. And Chochma Bina Das are called grandparents. Keser is called Sova the Sovin, in other words, higher level, which means that Zeranpin, which goes from Chesed to Malchus, is Bonim and Avos, parents and children, but there's Rachmanis there, there's pity there. But you could never compare the pity that a parent has on a child to the pity that the grandparents have. Oh, their heart goes out for the child always. Not necessarily is it always in a beneficial manner for the child, but the concept of Rachmim, you know that by the Sovin, it's much more Rachmanis. So here, Rabbeinu Zal says, Zeranpin is called Rachmin Pshutim, a lower level of Rachmonis. Atiko Kadisha is called Rachmin Gedalim in the Zohar Kadosh. Excuse me? It's part of Zeranpin. Sometimes it's called Zeranpin, sometimes it's called Nukva de Zeranpin. In other words, Zeranpin goes from Chesed to Malchus.
The breakdown of the Bonim?
Yeah, of course. Of course. Maisa b'melech shayilo shisha bonim u'basachas. That's the 6 and the 1.
What's
Chesed? Sova de Sovim. The grandparent of the grandparent. In other words, that's called the highest level of kindness possible. Rabbi Nazal says, Kemoshe Kosuv, as the Pasuk said, how do we know that there exists this concept of Rachmim Gedolim? Kemoshe Kosuv, as the Pasuk says, Uberachamim Gedolim Akabtzech. Hashem says, I'm going to gather you together. When there's going to be a Geula, the Geula is going to be Berachmim Gedolim. In this case, which sphere is Rachmim Gedolim?
Bina.
Why Bina?
You said the
Geula,
it's a concept
of Geula. The answer is Bina, number one, is a concept of Geula. Also, what are we looking for here? Keser. It's both. And Keser and Bina are always interchangeable.
Right.
Ekia.
Okay.
This is why the Arizal says, what's the last bracha we make before Shemayin Esrei? Baruch Atah Hashem Goal Yisrael. The Arizal says the word Goal in Atbash is Keser. Exactly. The Gimel exchanges for a Reish, Atbash Gar. The Aleph exchanges for a Tav, and the Lamed exchanges for a Chav. Goal is Begimatria Keser. That's Taich in this Posig, Uberachamim Gedolim Akatzech. That the gathering together, the Kibbutz Golias, is totally in Rachmim Gedolim, in Keser. V'onu Tzrichin Rachmim. We need tremendous Rachmonis of Hashem. Ach Bavoinenu Arabim, do tell many sins, Badoir Hazeh. Ein mi sheyispalel kach sheyuchal lahamshich harachmim. Because of our many sins, there isn't anybody in this generation now who can arouse this rachmim. Machmas she'ein mi sheyakir gedulas habayrei kol kach. Why? Because there isn't. In other words, how do you arouse this rachmonis? If a person is really aware of the greatness of Hashem, then he knows how vast Hashem's rachmonis is. He knows how much to ask for. Because our knowledge of Hashem today is so limited, we don't know how great Hashem is, so therefore we don't know that we can ask this big. We only ask this big based on our understanding of Hashem. The rachmonis is based on the das. The more you know, in other words, when a person goes into a person, he needs a loan. He needs a loan, he wants an apartment in Eretz Yisrael. The apartment cost $85,000. He needs a loan. He goes in, picture a guy going into David Rockefeller and saying, I want to buy an apartment in Eretz Yisrael, it costs $85,000. Could you lend me a nickel? Picture how silly that would be. Why would a person say that? He doesn't realize that this person has the most vast resources in the world. This guy could give him $850 million. He doesn't know how much to ask for. Based on how much of an understanding you have as to how much rachmim is available, that's how much you know. As to how much greatness is available, that's how much you know how to ask. So Rabbi Nazal says, because the golos has put such a strain on us mentally, when a person is forced to wander, his das becomes very metultal. As Rabbeinu is also going to bring proof soon from the Gemara, the fact that we go around wandering from country to country doesn't allow you to think as well as a person who's very well rested, calm, is allowed to live in one place. V'HaKadosh Baruch Hu bi'atzmoi tzorech lehispal al zeh. Rabbi Nazal says, therefore, you know who has to daven for the Rachmim Gedolim? Hashem himself must daven for this high Rachmonis. Kedisa b'Gemara, as the Gemara says, in brachos minayin shakadosh baruch hu mispalel. How do we know, the Gemara says, that Hashem davens every day? Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, V'simachtim b'veis tefilosi. Hashem says, I will rejoice with the Jews in my home of prayer. The Gemara says, tefilosom loinemar. It doesn't say in their house of prayer. It says in my house of prayer. Mikan shehakodesh baruch hu mispalel. The Gemara says, from here we see clearly that Hashem himself participates in tefila. And the Gemara asks, umahu mispalel. What is Hashem's tefila? You know what Hashem's tefila is? Rachamim. What's the tefillah that the Gemara says over there in the Gemara? Uma mispalo yehi rotzayin sheyichboish rachmi es kasi. Hashem davens, may I be zeicher that my kindness should hold back my anger. In other words, we see that what is the tefillah of Hashem? Bedafka for rachamim. That's Hashem's tefillah. Yehi rotzayin sheyichbishu rachmi es kasi. The Gemara there gives a whole seder. I don't remember exactly what it is, but I remember those are the first words. That my kindness should conquer my kas. Now Rabbi Nazal says, Ubame yochoy lovoy, shehu yisborach yispalel. How can a person... So we today are in the world. We need rachmonis. There's nobody around today who understands the greatness of Hashem enough to be able to arouse this rachmonis. Who does? Hashem himself. Hashem has to daven for this Rachmanis. How do we get Hashem to daven? What do we do that gets Hashem to daven? Rabbi Nizal says, Al Yedei HaTorah. Through the study of Torah, that's what arouses Hashem to daven for us. How do we see this? Rabbi Nizal says, Ki b'chol adam yesh bo chelek miklolius kol hoylamois v'tzirufim. Each and every person has within him a part of the total summation of all the heavenly worlds and their combinations. U'b'chol ma shehu medabek esatzmoi. And to whatever a person attaches himself, L'shom hu mekasher chelkoi. That's where he attaches this part of him, which is koilel all the different worlds. Which means, in a sense, the kedusha of the neshama, just like the body. How is the human body formed? The Gemara says that Hashem. How is Adam Rishon formed? Hashem gathered together all the dirt of the whole world, bits of dirt from all parts of the world, and formed the body of a human being. How is the neshama created? The neshama is created from gathering together specks of kedusha from all the heavenly worlds, all the heavenly olamos, which means each person contains within him nitzutzos from all the different worlds. Meaning that to whatever this person attaches himself to, that's what he's attaching this kedusha that comes that spans all the heavenly worlds. Rabbi Nizal says now, when a person follows the desires of his heart and the rulership of his physical heart, then he attaches this part, the chelek olikami mal, he attaches all of this to the sitra achra, to the satan, chas v'shalom. Rabbi Nizal says, "Umizbalbalim ho'isyeis v'atzirufim." And what happens then is, these letters of Kedusha, these specks of Kedusha that were gathered from all the different worlds, which were arranged with a Seder in a good manner, now they become mevulvol, they become all messed up, taken apart, where they don't make any sense anymore. It becomes a mishmash. These nitzutzos of Kedusha, which we refer to many times as oisyos, as we had in different Torahs, now the whole thing becomes a mumble jumble. Rabbi Nizal says, "V'hadas gam kein mizbalbel." And what happens is the person's sechel, a person who goes after taivas rois, whether it be taivas achila, whether it be taivas shena, whether it be taivas noshin, he finds that his mind becomes befuddled. Also, he can't think in an intellectual manner. V'hu golus hashchina, and it's this bilbul hadas that we refer to as the golus hashchina. V'chol mi shein boi das, ein boi midas rachmonus. And we know that these two go together. The more intelligent a person is, the more compassion that person is capable of. The less seichel that there is, the less rachmonus that there is. Ukamay shekosuv, as Shloimoy HaMelech says in Koheles, kas b'cheik ksilim yonuach. That anger, which is the opposite of rachmonus, anger is by the fools. Meaning, the less seichel, the less rachmonus. Lochein kol mi shein boidas osu l'rachim olav. That's why the Gemara says that any person who lacks das, you're not allowed to have rachmonus on him. You're not allowed to have pity on him. Why? Because he lacks das, which means he's the bechin of a ksil, a fool. Ksil is kas b'chei ksilam yenuach. He deserves kas, not rachmonis. You're not allowed to have rachmonis on him. Ki ein boi midas rachmonis. Because he doesn't have rachmonis. Therefore, the Gemara says, you like a begufa. In other words, if he's lacking rachmonis, you deal with him in the same manner as he deals with other people. You don't show any pity on him. A person who lacks das lacks rachmonis. If he lacks rachmonis, you don't extend to him any rachmonis. Rabbi Nizal says, "Ukisheshov b'tshuva shleimo." And when a person like this does tshuva shleimo, yoshuvu chelkov miklolius hoylamois v'hoysios v'tzirufim gam kein l'mekayman. Then what happens is, when he returns to Hashem, then all of these parts that went into his makeup, that were gathered from all of these worlds, become returned to their original place, to their original positions. They become repositioned. They became a vulvo. Now they become repositioned, placed in their right places. Ve'oz hadas sholem. Then the das is sholem. U'mis'ire rachmonis. And then rachmonis is aroused. Through tshuva, you arouse rachamim. Kemoy shekosuv, as the pasuk says clearly in Chumash, v'shov Hashem alikecho eshivuscha. Hashem will return you, returnees. What's the next word? V'richamecho. V'richamecho, and he will have rachmonis on you. Dahainu hachelik mikol yisrael asher shom shavui. Hashem will take those parts that come from all the different worlds that were placed in a wrong place, and he will return them to their original place. Azai v'richamecho. You know what will happen then? V'richamecho. Then there'll be rachamim. Ki hadas sholem. Because then the das will be sholem. When there will be kibbutz goliyos, when the Jews will be gathered in from golos, when they'll do tshuva, that's when the das will be b'shleimus. Kama yishamru chachomein esal, as the Gemara says, al posik, ubagoyla loyholach. The Gemara says over there, the Gemara compares two nations. One nation was very lacking in Sechel, whereas Moav, the Gemara says the people of Moav, they were very intelligent. Why? Ubagoyla loyholach. Because they were never forced to go into exile. And the Gemara says over there, shekol dovar shehu b'mekaymai daitoy sholem, that any item that's allowed, a person who's allowed to sit down and think, he can think clearly. A person who's forced to wander from place to place, it's very difficult for him to think well. So we see golus is an inyan of lack of das. Kibbutz golios will be the tikkun for das. Ikra tshuva teila b'teira. Rabbi Nizal says that in order for a person to do tshuva, what's the main item that a person needs for tshuva? The study of teira. The Gemara says about the study of Torah that a person should study Torah. Why? Shehamo'er shebo machziro lamutov. The light of the Torah will return him to the good path. So we see that the Ikar Tshuva is totally in Torah. Fehinei b'chol davar shebikdusha yesh boi gimel dvorim. Rabbi Nizal says that in each item of Kedusha that a person wants to do, there are three related concepts. Ibor, Yenika, Meichin. The three levels, this is a term that's used in many Sifrei Kabbalah, that whenever we talk about Kedusha, Oyer, it goes through three stages. Ibor means pregnancy. Yeniko means after the product has been born, it still has to draw some chias in the training period. It still has to draw some nourishment from the mother, Yeniko, nursing. And Meichin is the final product. Whenever we speak about a birth in Kedusha, a birth, a spiritual birth, we're talking about a birth of Seichel, because what is the only thing that exists in spirit? Oyer, light, Kedusha. Kedusha is an inyan of Seichel, an inyan of Das, an inyan of Moichin. Rabbi Nizal says, Ki kol zman shehadovor bekoyach nikro ibur. Whenever an item is in theory, it is called in a state of pregnancy. In other words, it's hidden. It's not very obvious yet. Veledo v'yeniko. Then it goes through a stage of being born, then the nursing. Ukisheposhat hadovor lasos hapu'ula hatzricha. And when the item finally becomes extended to be able to perform its function, azai nikra meichin. That's when it's called by its final name in Kedusha, which is Meichin. Hoilodas HaMeichin. That's the term that's used to be Meilid Meichin. She's there. Ukishaloi me Torah. Rabbi Nizal says when a person studies Torah, Gam kein tzrichen liyais boi gimel dvoramanal. The person must go through these three stages, meaning, Kikishe yoyshev lilmoid. When a person sits down to learn, V'noisein machshavtoi v'liboi b'hat Torah, he places his whole mind and his whole heart into the Torah. In other words, he envelops himself. He envelops himself in the Torah. U'mis'alim bo. He cloaks himself in it. He hides himself within the Torah. Enveloped, to put into an envelope like. Mikro ibur. At that point, the person is considered in the stage of pregnancy. Like a child hidden from view. It's hidden by its mother's stomach. Rabbi Nizal says, Kihu misalim bo ki ubor b'me'e imoi, because this person hides himself, envelops himself within the Torah, just like a baby with an embryo within its mother's stomach. Uki sheloi meid ha-Torah u'meivin bo, when a person studies Torah well and he gets to understand it, nikro leida, that's called birth already. Where it comes out into the open, the knowledge becomes already more obvious. He's no more secluded, he's able to teach, he's able to make himself more obvious. Vianika, and it's also referred to as nursing. Where do we see a term nursing applied to the study of Torah? K'moshekosav, as the pasuk says in Mishlei, Dodecho Yervucha B'choleis. The breasts of the Torah will nourish you at all times. So we see that the study of Torah is referred to as a concept of Yanika, nursing. And when the person advances himself still further, where he gets to the point where he can use the knowledge that he has here to be able to understand whole new mysteries, and then he wants to be mechadish in Torah, to come out with new concepts which weren't stated yet by previous rabbonim, as the Gemara says about the posuk mimerchak tovi lachmo, that the masters of Torah bring their bread from afar. What does that mean? The Yerushalmi says, Ki ha-toiro nikro aniya b'mokoymo v'ashira b'mokom achar, that the Torah is called poor in one place and wealthy in another place. The nature of the Gemara is that in some places it discusses a topic, it says a couple of words about it, you turn to a different Gemara, the same topic is discussed at length. So the function of a Rebbe is, when he's teaching a Gemara, even if the item is discussed low here, he has enough all-around knowledge of Shas whereby he can give you the broader picture based on his knowledge of other places. That's the concept of mimerchak tovi lachmo. The rabbonim who teach Torah, they bring their bread from far, from distant places in Shas. They have that overall knowledge to be able to teach to their talmidim. Rabbeinu is meaning shetzorech lohavi raya mimakom acher. A Rebbe sometimes has to bring proof to a student from other places to get him to understand a Gemara over here. Ulekach nikra chachma. This is why the Torah is referred to as chachma. Al derech, as the pasuk says in Kehelis, omarti echkama v'hi rechayka mimeni. I thought I would become a chacham, and it was distant from me. So we see that chachma is an item which involves taking things from a distance. That's why the Torah is called a chachma, because the way the Torah is set up, you have to be talented in being able to bring in from distant sources proofs to back up your concepts over here. Nimtzo, we see from here that kishemevin dova mitaych davor nikra moichin hainu chachma, that when a person gets to a level where he understands one item, you tell him one item, and he can learn whole new items from it, that's a concept of chachma, which is a concept of meichin, a concept of meichin. Ukishaloime ba'ifenze, Rabbi Nazal says, when a person studies Torah in this manner, meaning no fooling around, he really puts himself into the Torah, and he envelops himself in it, and he advances his head to the point where he understands it well, and he begins to get a broad type of knowledge, to the point where he can even be mechadish in Torah, oz hi tshuva gemura. At that point, the Torah itself acts as complete tshuva for that person. And this person is now enabled to take all the parts of him which came from the klolius of all the ilamais, and to return them to their original places. Loshuv means to return, to take an item which was taken out of place and put it back in place. Then the person becomes like a whole new being. Then the person's seichel becomes complete. When the das is b'shleimus, then there's rachmonus aroused. Period. Now Rabbi Nizal said, "V'hine al derech moshel." We can give a moshel about this, an allegory about this. When you have two people who are compassionate, one of them, his rachmonus only extends to a small amount, let's say $10. V'habez, the second one, kishehu marachim, if you could ever arouse his kindness, poyel barachmonus sheloi Yeshua shleima, he can give the whole 85,000 in one shot. He can have a real, complete Yeshua. Alkein, therefore, mi shetzarech l'rachamim. Rabbi Nizal suggested, a person who needs kindness, compassion, lama loy lehishtamesh brachmonas shel rishoin, why should he bother with the kindness of the first one, v'layi arach Yeshua muetes, and he'll only get a slight salvation? In other words, even if he arouses his kindness can only extend to $10, mutov sheyispalel habal horachmim horishon lebal horachmim hasheni, it would be better if he could get the first master of kindness to pray to the second master of kindness, ve'yifoel barachamim shel horishon Yeshua shleima, and he uses the first one to arouse the second one to give a whole total amount, which would be a Yeshua shleima, period. This is what Rabbi Nizal said. Kach Hashem yisborach, so to Hashem. Barachnim hapshutim sheloi, with Hashem's simple kindness, nispalel umarachim al Yisrael, barachnim gedolim, he prays for the Jews to his rachamim gedolim, to his higher level of kindness, period. And when a person studies Torah, as we mentioned before, the person arouses Das, which is Rachmonus, and he arouses the Tefillah of Hashem. This is the interpretation of the Pasuk. Ozi v'zimrasko v'ahili shua. Rabbi Nizal says, Ozi v'ein oiz ela Torah. The Gemara says that the word oiz, strength, refers to Torah. Loinitna Torah lebnei Yisrael, elam bnei she'azenheim. Hashem oiz la'amo yitain. What was the strength that Hashem gave to the Jews? The Torah. Hashem, ki lekach toiv nosati lochem, toiroso al tazevu, eitzchaim hila masikim bov simchem u'ushod, rechad ha'chaneba baba. Hashem oiz la'amo yitain is going back on the eitzchaim, on the Torah. The Torah is called oiz. When a person studies Torah, Kenizgar, as we explained before, Nase Zimros Ko, he generates the song of Hashem, meaning Hainu Hatfila Vohorachamim Shel Hashem Yisborach. He gets Hashem to sing, meaning to daven. Tfila is always called Shira. The word Shira is Begematria Tfila, exactly. Shin Yud Reishe is Begematria Tfila. So we see that Zimros Ko refers to Tfila. Vayehi Lili Shua, that's when I get a salvation. If a person is Zeichet to study Torah deeply, to the point where he arouses Hashem to daven for him, that's when Vayehi Lili Shua. This was pretty much the sum of the Torah. This here, if you'll see the second part, you'll understand how cloudy this is. Rav Nosson Zalman says, let's make the hand.
Hashem is davening to himself.
Exactly. Exactly.
And that's, in effect, davening to a particular person.
Exactly.
Person?
Wait. But watch how I'm saying, here's what you're going to see. Now, this is tzaddikim. We're talking about tzaddikim, chachomim, who wrote down these notes. We're talking about ones who are very learned. I'm saying we have an idea as to how learned they were. You have the Sefer Klich Veiler, gives you a little insight as to the... I'm saying what kind of people we're talking about here. Watch his talent in writing, in understanding what Rabbi Nizal said and writing it down in a manner where the whole picture changes. It becomes simple, easy to understand exactly what Rabbi Nizal wanted from this.
He says she was pretty much
it. Yeah.
Is that the reason?
No, I remember Rabbi Zal mentioning it in a Shira. I don't remember who he quoted it from. But the word Shira is Begmatria Tefillah. And it's brought in Rashi and Chumash in a few places that whenever it says the term Shira, it means Tefillah. Rabbi Zal mentioned it in a Shira. I don't remember. I think he mentioned it with regards to Rabbi Nosson Zal's Hilula. The fact that Rabbi Nosson Zal's Hilula always comes out, is it Rabbi Nosson Zal's Hilula or Rabbi Nosson Zal's birthday? It comes out Shabbos Shira. And he meant Rav Nosson Zal's Hilul is Asura B'Teves, Teves, which comes out Shabbos Shira, I think, always. That's what it is. Teves is B'Shalach, right? Teves Shvat Adar. Yeah, I'm almost positive that that's what it is. And he mentioned that Rav Nosson Zal's the union of Tefillah. In other words, Rav Nosson Zal's Torah, Rav Nosson Zal's Tefillah, Likutei Tefillahis. And that's why Shabbos Shira is B'Gematria Tefillah, showing an association to this. In other words, that the fact that his outstanding item was Malchus, the Talmud, the Levana. Okay. Now Rav Nosson Zal says, we'll do about seven minutes more now, and if we have to finish, maybe we'll finish 5 minutes more if tomorrow, because this Torah is like a whole package. Not finished all things, sorry. We'll go to at least the end of this paragraph. Gam zois ha-Torah hi miloshen ha-chaverim. This Torah is from the wording of a chaverim, my chaverim, Rav Nosson Zal says. V'loi nichtuva b'biur heitev, and it wasn't written in a manner where it was explained well. Ach acharkach shomati mipiv hakodesh ba'atznoi inyan tefilas Hashem hamavurakan. But Moses writes, I was zeche after I heard it from my chaverim. This story that Rabbeinu Zal said over, I was zeche to speak to Rabbeinu Zal myself and to hear him discuss this concept of the tefilah of Hashem, the who, and it is as follows. By Hashem, there exists a concept of Rachmim Pshutim and Rachmim Gedolim. How do we know this? This isn't our Chiddush. This is written clearly in the Zayir HaKadosh, that there are these two levels by Hashem. There's Ze'er Ampin, there's Orech Ampin. If you recall, he once quoted from the Megala Mukais, the fact that when Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to be Mamtik, the Charoin Af of the Egel HaZohov, the Gemara says there's nothing that arouses the anger of Hashem, calls Man Shesh Avoydezorah Boilam, Charoin Af Boilam. Avoydezorah brings out Kaas. What was the worst tragedy of Avoydezorah that ever took place? The Egel HaZohov. When Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to arouse a Rachamim to combat the Egel HaZohov, he had to go to the highest level of Rachmonis possible. What's the highest level of Rachmonis? The Keser. The Keser, which is many times referred to as Orich Ampin. This is why, if you recall, the famous words of Moshe Rabbeinu were, Mocheni no, misifrecha, asher kosafto. He showed his dedication for the Jews. He said, Hashem, I'm willing to have my name erased from the Torah. That was his Mesiras Nefesh. That was his Mesiras Nefesh. That was the highest level of Rachmonis that Moshe Rabbeinu could come up with. To say, I'm willing to have my name erased. I'm willing to have myself killed. Al Kiddush Hashem. How high was he reaching with that Rachmim? The Megala Mukai says, this is how he reached up to Keser, which is also called Orech Ampin, not Zerampin. Where do we see this? The last letters of Misifrecha Asher Kosafto make up the word Keser, exactly, showing that this is the power that he was trying to arouse. And also, the last letters of the whole sentence, Mocheni no Misifrecha Asher, Mocheni no Misifrecha Asher, the last letters make up the word Orech, referring to Orech Ampin. That's the Rachmonis that he was trying to arouse. So you see clearly that there definitely exist these two levels by Hashem. Zer Ampin, of which the nickname is Rachmim Shutim, Orech Ampin, of which the nickname is Rachmim Gedolim. Rav Nosson Zal says now, V'hinei L'moshel, watch how he explains the Moshel. There was a point that was missed here. They didn't understand clearly what the Moshel was. When there exist in a city two wealthy people, echod yesh lo yashirus poshut, one of them is not very wealthy, he's, let's say, middle class. Vahasheni hu oshir godol u muflog bahashirus otsum, vahoin rav ma'oid ma'oid, hasheri efshel harach hashirusoi, and the other one is a billionaire. Figure, not the term millionaire that we use today, the second one is a billionaire. He has wealth that we can't imagine how much wealth he has. Vahutzrech odom echod liyeshua gadayla. Then you get a person who has to marry off his daughter, let's say, which is the biggest expense he ever had in his, or he has to buy an apartment in Eretz Yisrael, which is the biggest, it's a huge, to him, it's the biggest expense, the biggest figure of money he ever conceived of in his life. $100,000. Ha'ila l'sach rav, he needs a big yeshua, which amounts to a big unit of money. V'hu eino yochay l'hiskarev l'vakesh mevukshoy, and this person can't present his request. He can only present his request to this middle class person. Why? He has no means of getting into this billionaire. He doesn't know how to get in to see him. What contact? To get into a guy like that, you need a whole series of contacts. Where does this poor person who wants to buy an apartment, where does he have contacts to know who to go to? Avol, however, Ze he'oshir hakoton, this middle class guy, afal pi shehu roitze lazer loy b'chol yecholtoy, although he would want to help this oni to the best of his abilities, willing to extend himself to his widest limits possible to help the guy, Lo yuchal lekabel mavukshe mimeni. Mimenu, this poor person, there's no way possible for him to get $100,000 from this guy. Ki ein biyacholtoi lamalois mishalaiso shel zehu yish. It's not possible, it's physically not possible for this one to supply so much money. He just doesn't have it, he doesn't have the means. Ki mishalaisov gedei lamiyacholtoi. Because the requirements of the ani are greater than the means of this middle class one. Al kain, therefore, ho eitzo hayeutzo lozeh ho ish hatzorech Yeshua. What's the best advice that we could give to this guy who needs a Yeshua? Sheya sekach. This is what he should do. Ha eitzo hayeutzo lozeh ho ish hatzorech Yeshua. The advice, the best advice that we could give to this person who needs a Yeshua, sheya sekach, that he should do the following. What? Sheyelech lezeh ha'oshir hakotoin. He should go to this middle class guy, Shebekal Yocholis Karevelov. To him, he does have easy access. He could knock on his door and get in. It's not, there's no bodyguards at the door, there's no calling card that's needed. Ula Ure Rachmim Elov, and to try to arouse his pity, Sheyovoy Elov, meaning to try to arouse his pity. How? Sheyovoy Elov, he should come to him, Viyamar Lain, he should tell him, Hineani Nitzrach Li Yeshua Gedela. I want you to know that I need a tremendous Yeshua. I need a huge sum of money. I know you. I'm told that you're a compassionate person. I know that you would definitely want to have pity on me. It's not physically possible for you to satisfy this specific request that I happen to have right now. Al kein, therefore, mavukshi mincho. My request of you is not money. I'm not asking you for money. Ki haloy atoroitz l'rachamolai. I see that you definitely want to have pity on me. There's no question that you're on my side. Yihye zois horachmonis shelcho olai. I want you to show your pity on me. How? She'ato teilech leha'oshir hagodel ma'oid. I want you to act as an agent on my behalf. You go to this one who's a multi-billionaire, levakesh rachmim menu, to ask pity from him, sheyamale mishaloisai, that he should fulfill my request.